right now, I am an attorney. I practice mostly water and natural resources law. And I first got into that working for Senator Udall as a field representative in my home in southern New Mexico. I was his first employee south of Albuquerque. And so I had a great opportunity to go out and speak with folks who wanted to be part of building solutions. And that really was everybody. It was finding working with farmers and conservationists to make sure that the government was doing what they'd said they would with the International Boundary and Water Commission, working on the first kind of statewide plan and statewide conference for the senator. And that really got me excited about water and natural resources as a key way to work with people across political spectrums, kind of breaking political boundaries and talking about our future together and how we could share a finite resource. And so that took me to law school. I clerked for the New Mexico Water Adjudication Judge. I've also clerked for the United States Federal District Court down in Las Cruces, and then focused on water and natural resources law.
For the people who want water, it seems kind of a simple thing, but I understand that as far as the law is concerned, it's not simple.
It's incredibly complex, and I think that makes it really hard for folks to get involved. But I think that we've got to make sure that we're reaching out to everyone because it's something we all rely on. And so that education and that inclusion is really important. But I think the hardest thing is not just the complexity and the fact that the laws don't really follow the science a lot of the time, but it's also that it's a finite resource. So people have to be vulnerable enough to say, these are my needs.
So then, have you been working for Senator Udall all along, or did you go into private practice?
So I went into private practice after working for a judge.
Oh, that's right. Okay. But you grew up in Las Cruces.
Yes, yes.
So, and went to Georgetown, or was that law school?
I went away for college. I went to Georgetown. I grew up in Las Cruces. My dad's family, my grandparents on that side, immigrated from Mexico. My grandmother picked cotton just outside of Las Cruces growing mm-hmm. up. My dad's one of nine kids. And so, you know, you grew up with everybody being family or knowing family. My grandfather was in the Las Cruces Police Department. And my mom came to Las Cruces to go to NMSU. And she's a teacher. She's been a teacher for almost 30 years now. So that's how I grew up. Kind of Las Cruces was smaller back then. It was kind of the community where everybody knew everyone. And so, again, you learn how to work with people because you're always going to run into them again.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And then I went away for college, but really knew that learned when I left how much this was home for me and how much I wanted to come back home and work to serve the community that I love. And so that brought me back in 2008 when I worked as a field organizer for Senator Udall.
And when you do law, water law, do you have a lot of people who are your clients? I mean, that it seems we hear about cases, but not that many.
Right. Well, and because there's you know, client confidentiality, and so much of it is also transactions when you're working with people to figure out you're purchasing some water, you're selling some water. But what I loved about the work that I did for the New Mexico Water Adjudication Judge and work that I did for Senator Udall before I even was a lawyer was really that it was not on behalf of a specific client, but about finding solutions to those problems.
Okay. And of course, water is important to everyone in New Mexico, but in the southern part of the state, I think it has a bigger importance, or a bigger – it looms bigger.
Well, it's certainly under bigger threat right now in terms of the Supreme Court situation right now, the Supreme Court litigation, and the specific challenge for southern New Mexico because of that, feeling really caught in the middle in terms of jurisdictions there. It's also because, as I mentioned, agriculture is such an important part of our economy down there. It's – every drop of water brings jobs, builds community, and is really essential for our survival down there.
Mm-hmm. So what takes you into wanting to go to Washington? Because water really is a local issue.
Well, water is – it's administered by the state. But as we've seen in the Supreme Court, there are there are state arguments over water, and there's also international challenges with managing water. And the federal government has a key role in making sure that we have all of the information that we need to address these water plans, helping monitor the health of aquifers, helping monitor the quality of aquifers. And it also has a key role in the U.S.-Mexico relations when it comes to water with the International Boundary and Water Commission. And it also has a key role in infrastructure when it comes to water conservation and other work. When it comes to Native American sovereign government settlements, infrastructure is often a key part of that to make sure that we're not just talking about paper water rights, we're talking about wet water rights.
Tell me what that means.
Well, it just means water that you actually end up getting to use, right? So, if you've got a really junior water right, or if you've got, if in theory you have paper, you have the water right in paper, but you don't have the infrastructure to get it to your land, it's no good.
So. That's great. Your husband, I hadn't met before he became a legislator. And so I don't know whether you two were involved in politics or he decided that, I assume that you helped with his campaign and how you both got involved.
Well, I'm just so grateful for my husband. I think it's rare to have a spouse who is as strong as they are supportive, and that's Nathan for me. He's a great partner and an incredibly hardworking guy. And we met in 2008 on the campaign. He was already a city councilor at that time, and we continue to learn from each other. And it's fun to get to work for the community that we love, trying to make a difference. So I'm just really grateful to have him as a partner.
So you met on his campaign.
It was on Udall's campaign.
I see. Okay. Okay. Great. Well, that's a great story. That often happens, I think, in campaigns, that people do make contacts that they continue afterwards because it's such an intense kind of experience.
Well, it's exciting to have a lot of folks working together and kind of identifying challenges and opportunities and how we can work together to fix them. And I think that what we have to make sure when we're doing campaigns is we're trying to be as inclusive as possible, as we're listening more than we're talking. And I think that's something that I've been really proud of my team for this campaign, that we're doing a lot of outreach, because sometimes it can be an echo chamber and that's not what you want. You want to represent everyone. And so that's what we're working really hard to do.
Okay. Now, a lot of candidates say they're doing outreach. What do you mean by it?
Yeah. So I make it a point to continue going door to door when I go places. And
really?
So because, you go to events and people go who can go. You go to parades and people go and you get a second of interaction. And that's exciting and emotional, but you don't get the time to have a real conversation. And so when you knock on someone's door and they take the time to share what makes them nervous, to share what they want out of life, to share what they want for their kids, that's how I'm hoping to learn to be a real representative, to make sure that I'm taking those dreams and goals and challenges with me.
Do you really think that you can get to enough people?
I can't only knock on doors. We've got to reach folks throughout the way. But that's why we have a strong field campaign. That's why we have a lot of volunteers. And that's why we have a clear line of communication for when volunteers hear about things that are happening on the ground, that I'm continuing to learn from that as well.
You mean that the word gets to you?
Yes, yes. So, what's the biggest issue that you heard at the doors? Or what are the concerns? Is there any follow-up that we need to do there?
Okay. And that's all getting put down.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
A lot of folks, and that's part of the energy of this year, is that people are tired of hearing about political disagreements or putting people in boxes with labels. People are a lot more interesting about sending new energy and folks who are excited to work together to find solutions instead of making problems.
Okay, good. Let's talk about going to Washington, because there's a lot of new people running, and there's a lot of women running. What are you excited about? What do you think will happen when you go to Washington, if you do?
Well, growing up in New Mexico, I didn't always feel like my voice was heard or listened to. And that's my number one priority in being a representative, is listening to and being a voice for people in the 2nd Congressional District. And so what I'm excited about is, with this new energy of people who are running, that there are folks who are eager to start listening more, to start working together more, and to stop focusing on the divisions, because, you know, we've been ignored for a long time here. And a lot of it is because people just stopped doing work in Washington. And so to get back to getting things done is really important. And so that's where having experience working for Senator Udall to get things done on the ground, where we had a responsibility, even when legislation wasn't moving, we were helping folks with grant applications. We were working to make sure they were navigating or holding, you know, government departments accountable to make sure that they were following up with the communication that they said they were going to have with constituents. And so I think I have good experience being a voice in my community, and I think that being a representative will be a great place to continue to do that.
Have you been in contact with different people in Washington? Have they reached out to you in terms of saying, come and work with me or things like that?
Oh, you know, I think being running for Congress, everyone reaches out. And what I'm focused on is making sure that the people I'm working for are from New Mexico or New Mexicans. And I'll take support that I need, you know, to make sure that our voice is being listened to. Anyone who's going to reach out from anywhere, I want to use that as an opportunity to talk about our opportunities and challenges here in New Mexico. And so that's what I've worked to do, is making sure that I'm already starting to be a voice as people reach out and get interest in this campaign, that I'm using it to talk about infrastructure and broadband investment and things that folks don't realize if they're living on the coasts, that, you know, we have to – cell phone service is not a given here. you know, when teachers assign homework that requires the internet, they're leaving kids behind here because we don't have that level of investment. And so that's what I've been working to do, is if folks are reaching out, that I'm talking about what New Mexico needs to really make sure we can reach our best potential here.
What kind of people are you saying that message to?
Really, when folks reach out, potential donors or potential people who are interested in this race, press reaches out from outside of the state, I'm talking about New Mexico issues and about what I've heard from people in this district and what we need and what we are wanting to work on.
I think that Emily's List is one of the groups that's reached out. So let's talk about your contact with them, because they're sort of a favorite that we talk about a lot.
Okay, yes. So Emily's List has reached out. Absolutely. They've endorsed me. I'm very grateful for their support. One of the neatest things that they did when we had a first conversation was, you know, I was not sure that I was ready to run. And they said, okay, well, here's a checklist of things to think about.
Oh, good.
In terms of, like, who's your network? What would you want to do? Could you afford to do it, to take leave from your job? And just very practical things that I got to think about with my husband. I got to really, for me personally, it gave me the chance to pray about it. It gave me a chance to look at things in a practical way and say, am I ready to do this? Mm-hmm. And that was something that, you know, no one else was saying, but because they have experience with women candidates specifically, it was a really helpful way for me to look at, is this something that, you know, my husband and I can do?
It must have been an important decision for you to make, because it's going to change your life a lot. There are some representatives who manage to come back to the state just about every weekend, but it's an enormous undertaking, I think.
And I'm grateful that so far it's been as energizing as it's been challenging. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never felt like I was in this alone. People really care about our state and our communities and our future. And I'm grateful to get to be a part of that.
Tell me about what it was like when you were making this decision. Did people come to you and say, we want you to think about this? Or was it a light bulb in your head?
I take commitments very seriously. And so when I was thinking about whether or not to run, I worked hard to make that decision very deliberately, because I knew once I was in all the way. Mm-hmm. And so I talked with my mom about it. I talked with, you know, my brother, my best friend, my boss, my husband, and I. It was a time of deep contemplation, because it's also, you want to make sure that doing this will do some good. You know, I don't want to just put myself out there if I'm not going to be able to make a difference.
Yeah.
And so I was
Which could easily happen.
Right. And so, but it was helpful to have people's support and willingness to talk things through and all the challenges and what that would look like. And, you know, going back to Nathan, he just was incredibly patient with me as I made that decision and talking through what that would mean for our future.
When you talk, I can picture you in Las Cruces making this decision and with your surrounding people. But the district is a lot bigger than that. And so talk to me what it's like when you go to Alamogordo or when you go to Artesia, places like that.
It's been wonderful getting out throughout the district. It is huge. So folks may not know that it's actually the largest district that isn't its own state. So it's actually larger than the state of Pennsylvania, for example.
Wow.
It's an enormous landmass. I know a lot of it through my working for Senator Udall. As a hunter, you travel all over the place on our great public lands. So I know a lot of the district, but getting to talk with people from everywhere has been very exciting. And seeing people show up who are making real sacrifices to get involved this year. I was in Alamogordo the other day, and I had a passing conversation with a woman, and we were talking about something, and I just said the word healthcare at some point, and she stopped and she said, "You know, I'm so glad you brought that up because it really matters to me. I'm only able to be here. I'm the only caretaker for my husband because we can't afford long-term healthcare, and he has Alzheimer's. And my son came down to watch him so that I could come."
Wow.
And
oh dear.
That's why I've never felt alone, because everyone's doing what they can to shoulder this responsibility, and I'm just so grateful to get to fight for folks like that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the issues, because healthcare is a big issue, and it's what almost everyone, almost all the candidates, I think, and the people talk about as the most important thing. Maybe jobs, but healthcare.
Absolutely. And I think this is a place where New Mexico really needs a strong voice, because it's absolutely true that we have to rein in costs for healthcare. Even if you have a good job, even when you feel like wages have maybe increased a bit, although that's debatable, when you have the challenge of increased healthcare costs, you don't really see that difference in your paycheck.
No.
And so that's a key challenge. And I've spoken to a nurse whose job it is to provide care, and she herself has to choose between which medicine she's going to get prescription filled every month.
You mean?
Because it costs too much. Oh. Because she's got two inhalers, and it costs too much to pay for both bills, so she gets one of them.
Oh, dear.
And so the healthcare cost is a key challenge. And she's got a good job. She's, you know, but it's still, because healthcare and prescriptions cost too much, it's keeping people from having basic health. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that New Mexicans have a key voice in is accessibility. So being in Hobbs and talking to an expecting mother who has to drive 2 hours and across state lines for her prenatal care, for every single prenatal appointment. People who move here and are trying to get doctor's visits set up for their kids, and no one is taking new patients because mm-hmm. there's just not enough providers, mm-hmm. and having to wait 6 months before their kids get a basic checkup. These are New Mexico challenges that people aren't talking about in Washington. And so I'm eager to make sure that we're bringing the whole scope of what it means to be here and that aspect of the conversation that we just can't forget.
But on the other hand, it's sort of a state issue. And so let's talk about what the Washington aspects of it would be.
So I think that there are key things that Washington can do in terms of healthcare providers. When you look at scope of practice for nurses, when you look at the Medicare reimbursement for how you're incentivizing different types of care from primary care versus specialties, mm. when you look at the National Health Services and how you're helping pay back tuition for doctors. In Silver City, for example, they have a residency program that is supported through the federal government, and it helps attract new doctors to come and work in the community, and they're much more likely to stay there when they did their residency there. Mm-hmm. So there's a key federal component that's been ignored. And so that's where we have to start talking about access.
Okay. What are some of the other issues that you want to work on?
I think another one of those issues is, you know, traditionally folks think about education as a state issue. And that's true. But there are key federal investments because we understand that there's a baseline that folks have to have all across the United States to have quality education across the United States. And so investments like Head Start, and making sure that federal investments for Head Start is appropriately leveraged with state funding for early childhood education so that we're reaching the most people possible. Also, on the other side, when it comes to education, career readiness, working in high schools, working in transitioning communities to make sure that folks have access to good classes for career readiness, as opposed to when I was getting ready to go to college, I was really nervous about thinking about what college am I going to go to, right? Well, how much better would it have been if I was really nervous thinking about what career, what do I want to be when I grow up? You know, we've got great vocational options. We've got great college educated opportunities, but we should be focusing on kind of where you can go from there. And I think that that's something that's a place that the federal government has a role.
At this point, we don't know which party is going to be in power. What's your sort of feelings about that?
Well, if I have the opportunity to represent 2nd Congressional District, when I was considering whether or not to run, I was talking with a mentor of mine, and I said, I'm really worried that we'll lose this opportunity. And I wasn't talking about the opportunity of Democrats taking back the House. I was talking about the opportunity of if the Democrats were to take back the House and we still didn't work together and it just became another tug of war over power so that nothing was actually getting done, we will lose this opportunity. And that's why I'm excited about this new wave of energy of people who are focused on leadership. And I think that that's where we can get so that whether I'm in the party of power or not, I'm going to put the people of Southern New Mexico first and getting things done first so that it's not just trying to pay people back for, you know, bad experiences or stop being a party of no. I think it's time that we start being a party of problem solving and that we start being people who problem solve.
So when you talk about losing the opportunity or the opportunity that you have, you're not talking because it's an open seat. You're going beyond that.
I'm talking about the opportunity to start getting things done in Washington instead of making it about getting people back or really forcing divisiveness instead of solving problems.
Let's talk about being a woman in the situation that has been male-dominated forever and really strongly male-dominated.
I mean, I think that it's better decisions happen when you've got more diverse viewpoints at the table and having people from different perspectives and honoring everyone's perspectives at the table is something that people are excited about now. I mean, when I think about the key people in my life, you know, we've talked about my husband and about how he's been a great role model. Another great role model for me were both of my grandmothers and the way that they led with such caringness as well. So having those differences in approaches, I think is really valuable, especially when it comes to problem solving. So it's not just about women. It's not just about men. It's about having everyone there.
So what you foresee is being your own person, no matter whether you're in a Washington atmosphere or back home in Las Cruces.
Being my own person and a representative for the 2nd Congressional District. It's a great place in that it's diverse and that there are lots of viewpoints. With the huge landmass, there's all sorts of ways that people are reaching their dreams and working towards a better life, and I want to represent all of that. I was knocking on doors in Los Lunas and got the chance to spend some time with someone who had stopped voting because he didn't feel like it mattered. And when people don't see the impact in their lives, I get why people stop voting. And it's scary and it's a responsibility to say, I want to be part of changing that. Can you help me? But it's also exciting.
So you're thinking about not only making legislation in Congress, but the office that you would run, guiding people and doing the other things that Congress people can do.
Absolutely. That's a key part of it, is making sure that, from my experience, that we're delivering. And so it's not just passing a law and saying it's done. It's mm-hmm. like, how does that impact things on the ground? Are you seeing a difference? Are we achieving our goals?
I hope that if you get to Washington, that you come back and let us know how things are going.
Thank you. I would love to do that. And I hope I get the chance to represent the 2nd Congressional District.